Let's have a book review. Why not? Louisa Bryan, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Oh, now, Carl Nixon actually is one of my favourite New Zealand
writers. Oh, me too, Catherine.
I love his stuff. So I'm very excited for a new book here.
I first met him through his short stories, which are just such condensed bullets of ideas and prose. But he's also a well-known novelist and also a playwright. And actually, I think this latest novel is very cinematic. I can see it as a movie. It's called The Tally Stick, I would place it firmly amongst what's called a literature of unease. So it's very ominous, very foreboding. It's all about the atmosphere. And it begins with a car crash. So the Chamberlains are a family, four children, mum and dad, who moved to New Zealand from London, and they begin with a road trip around the country. They're on the west coast. They've been in the country 5 days. And the car goes off the road during a downpour. By the morning, the tracks have been washed away and there's no evidence that they were ever there. They just vanish. So there's family back in England who look for them. And the parents die in the crash, as does the wee baby, and we've got three kids left alive. Catherine, who's 12, Morris, who's 14, and Tommy, who's 10, and they're injured, they're cold, they're wet, they're lost. It's a lingering few days that seem like forever, and then we get the split in the timeline to 2010 and to Julia, the mum's sister, Suzanne, who gets the news that the remains of Morris have been found on the west coast by a researcher studying a gull colony with a collection of objects, including a tally stick, which is an ancient method of accounting a debt. But the mystery is that they can tell that when he died, he was 18. So then there's this 4-year gap after the disappearance, before his death, and the two timelines kind of move together, sometimes overlapping but with lots of gaps, to explain or account for those 4 years, as well as Suzanne's timeline moving forward, coping with the news but also reliving her memories of the disappearance. So time is a really important thing in the novel. Gaps in time are really important. So those first few days after the crash are very specific about the time. But the prose also does a really interesting thing with time in that it lingers over instants. And I want to read you the opening paragraph, because this, not only is it beautiful writing, but it does this thing where it makes one instant of horror last beautifully in a really unsettling way. The car containing the four sleeping children left the earth. From the top of the wooded bluff, where the rain-slicked road had curved so treacherously, down to the swollen river at the base of the cliff was easily 60 feet. There was no moon that night, only low leaden cloud clogging the sky. As if suspended, the car hung in the air for a fraction of a moment. Very soon the children would begin to fall towards the tops of the trees, towards the headlong water rushing between the boulders into the future. And the landscape is treated in just this unsettling, ambiguous way as well. So they are lost in this bush, which is entirely unfamiliar to them. There's some nice contrast between Kensington Gardens and the West Coast bush. The beauty of it, but also its dangers, its treacherousness. It reminded me a little bit of the feeling of the top of the lake. You know, those mountains which are both majestic and encircling, because the children come to be entrapped, encircled in a landscape which is beautiful and threatening to them.
Foreboding.
Yes, indeed. I've been stopped twice on the way to see you here today by people who saw me carrying the book and wanted to talk to me about it. So I think it's one of those books which is hard to enjoy because of the subject matter, but which is completely compelling and which you admire the skill of so much. The writing is very powerful. You know that bad things are going to happen. You know that rescue doesn't mean safety. the control of information between the narratives is so carefully plotted that it keeps you hooked. And no one ever knows everything, which I really like a lot. So Suzanne the aunt never knows everything. There's gaps in what we learn as well. The sense of time, the sense of the land, the sense of the characters and the way they develop in harmony with their context and place. It's really masterful writing.
Are you seeing a progression in his work over the years as well? It's difficult when he moves between genres so much.
It is. I think he definitely applies that skill of condensation. Mm-hmm. That
and
he
leaving
has,
gaps, yes. Leaving ambiguities, leaving room for the reader to work out,
yes.
Rather than be shown or told exactly what's happening.
Exactly. Mm. And I like that respect for the reader, mm-hmm. you know, that you yep. don't have to be told everything, and that there's, and also it's just how life is like. You never know what other people's narratives actually are, no matter what you may suppose.
All right, so happy with it.
Very much. I highly recommend it.
As do two randoms on the way here.
Yes.
Isn't that a great sign that finally the bookstores can be selling books again?
Oh, I love it. I love people having conversations about
yes.
books. It's a
Actually, nice life, isn't it?
I
hadn't thought that you know, the bookie people would be particularly. Mind you, they'd gone to an effort to make sure they could deliver anyway. The challenge
yes.
now is getting things and the timing that people want, but there's still nothing like wandering in there.
And there's also nothing like having a book in your hand and sharing it. You know,
it's
which
great
is harder
Wellington
to do
tradition.
With your
books on buses
on bus stops
and people walking and reading. It's a thing here.
It certainly is.
Thank you very much. Louise O'Brien has reviewed The Tally Stick by Carl Nixon. Penguin Random House, the publisher's $36, the price.